When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Green Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
Looks like our EMF meter started to go haywire.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? KarmaCast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
There. When I need to quench my desire for the paranormal, only one thing can hit the spot. I tune into Nightwatch with Todd Sheets. Accept no substitutes. When you need the real thing, Tune in to Nightwatch, the only show that shudders and shakes and bumps in the night. And don't forget, Nightwatch is also available on iTunes for your portable paranormal pleasure. Nightwatch, paranormal radio for everyone. Why settle for less? Demand the best. Nightwatch.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
What a cool half hour that was.
That was amazing. You know what? We're going to bring him back on, if possible. We're going to try calling Alan Gross.
Later tonight.
Of Waynesboro Ghosts later tonight, because we've got a free half hour at the end of the show.
Yeah, we're going to do
and,
that.
And I'm really excited, because talking about Gettysburg,
Totally. What's going on now, though?
Meanwhile, this is really interesting, because that teaser was totally unintentional, but I even got excited. you know, talking about, you know, past and future lives, just exciting. Dr. Bruce Goldberg holds a B.A. degree in biology and chemistry, is a doctor of dental surgery, and has a master's degree in counseling psychology. He retired, thank heavens, he put down the drill in 1989, and so my teeth are safe. And since then, he's concentrated on his thriving international hypnotherapy practice in Los Angeles. He's the author of 20 best-selling and award-winning books, including Past Lives, Future Lives. This book, which of course is what we were talking about. This book is the first book ever written on progression hypnotherapy. That's taking patients into their future lives. The website is www.drbrucegoldberg.com. That's Dr. Bruce Goldberg, all run together, no spaces or hyphens or anything like that, .com, drbrucegoldberg.com. Dr. Bruce, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Well, it's a pleasure, Scott L. and Doug, to be on your show. By the way, I retired from dentistry almost 20 years ago, and now I drill into past and future lives.
Ooh, that's not bad. So you just changed one for another. You know, that's the thing. I did indeed once in the past have a past life regression kind of thing, a hypnosis thing, and it was magnificent. I had a really good time. It was really interesting, and I think I learned something. And I'm wondering what do the people who come to see you to do this, how do they react to their because I only know about the past thing. I've never done a future thing, but I'm wondering how do they react? Are they just in awe? Are they like, oh, holy cow, that was creepy? How do they feel?
Well, usually they don't get creeped out, even if they have ghost encounters. Basically, people come here to resolve problems. They want to, you can use regression and progression, especially progression therapy. People use it to find soulmates, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They use it to make major decisions in their life, both business but then personal. They use it to, I like to use the word psychic empowerment. They're using their mind, the psychic part, to take charge of their lives and to overcome, for example, in everyone's lives, including, I guess, your own, you'll find that there are people that we call, and this is related to the topic tonight about psychic self-defense, we call these energy vampires.
Yeah.
These are people who don't sleep in coffins and they don't drink blood, but what they do is they drain your energy because of their neurotic tendencies and because of their cynicism, negativism, and just who they are. They're not trying to hurt you.
Yeah.
They just are who they are. And one of the things and the main theme of tonight's this interview is really to show people how they can protect themselves from them, because some of these people have been with them in past lives. For example, some of your listeners may be familiar with the CBS movie The Search for Grace, was a movie based on my second book of that same name, about a woman who was obsessively attracted to a man who murdered her in 20 of 46 lives.
Wow.
And he tried to kill her on three different occasions in her current life.
Uh-huh.
And by doing the regressions and by doing the empowerment work and what I call soul healing approaches, she was able to overcome that issue. She's still around today. And it was also a very nice movie, too, by the way. Little Holly was here.
Yeah.
But it worked. But it was a case. And see, in my practice, one of the things that I'd like to focus on this hour is really the concept that people have various forms of possession attempts that are administered or at least attempted on them that they're not even aware of. You see the more extreme cases and things like, I guess, your guys' work, and you see some of the, you know, the Hollywood stuff and the feature films and documentaries done. But there are attempts that people have by these various possession attempts, which are related, interesting enough, to past lives. For example, in the field of possession, we have three different kinds.
Okay.
The third kind is the one that everybody hears about, but we're not going to discuss a whole lot because you don't want to get involved with demonic possession.
Right.
There's only been several dozen cases documented, and you don't want to have your head spin around and spit out split pieces.
No, no, that would be bad.
Not good
no.
for a Sunday evening, okay?
No.
But the other two are relevant, and the other two, the first one we call this pseudo-obsession cases. Now, what this is a person's past life personality attaches to their aura and literally tries to not only manipulate them, but literally take over their body. For example, several years ago, I worked with this woman, and this is a case I reported in my book, Protected by the Light, which is about psychic self-defense. She was, I call her Marcia, she was a very devout Catholic girl, very, very just squeaky clean, very good upbringing, living on the East Coast. And she was, all of a sudden, her personality changed within 24 hours. She became the complete opposite personality. She was blasphemous to the church. She was sleeping around with guys, and she would never do that on her fiancé, who she was very devoted to.
Mm-hmm.
And the fiancé had actually seen me on a television interview and brought her to Los Angeles for me to work with her. And apparently, what we did the regressions on her to find out what was going on, she had a past life in Martinique about 220 years ago, in which she was a prostitute named Jacqueline, and she was murdered by the guy who ran the brothel that she worked for, and the soul of Jacqueline as the prostitute from 200 plus years ago was trying to take over this life today, because now she sees this woman with a great future where she's young, attractive, and got this fiance, and she's got an affluent lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And she was jealous, and she said, look, I'm sitting here in the lower astral plane spinning my wheels here. I want this body. So we had to do a lot of what we called techniques of protection and reorientation techniques to actually give the soul, or at least the fragment of Jacqueline, a little condo in the fifth dimension so she could leave, and to remove her from Marcia's awareness. And we did that by using protection techniques so she could never come back. And this case was done about 10 years ago. Marcia is around today, now married with two kids and having, you know, a good lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of a pseudo-obsession. It's one of your own past lives trying to take charge or take over your body, literally.
Wow.
And it's a very dynamic category. Now, the second category is the one that also gets some attention, but not as much as the demonic one.
Uh-huh.
That's called the obsession case. This is when a ghost or poltergeist is not really you. It's not one of your past lives. It's somebody who has crossed into spirit or clinically died, and they're wandering around what we call the lower astral plane, which is noisy and nasty. And by the way, for the benefit of your listeners, they want to see what this looks like. On my website, there are 13 different videos. If they go on the homepage, one of them shows an actual psychic attack on the lower astral plane that was removed on television in about a minute and a half. It's a very dynamic loop. Yeah, it's a real little clip. This woman was taken to a past life, and apparently she was being attacked and attempted to be possessed by one of her past lives, and this was a pseudo-obsession case. And so they can actually see what this looks like, as well as people going into past and future lives. Jerry Springer's past life is on there, and out-of-body experiences. I know you guys are interested in that, too. That's illustrate that on there, too. So there's several, and also contacts with ETs, and even time travel from our future is also illustrated on those clips. So there's several different categories. But the obsession case, occurred. Here's a very interesting case that occurred in Hollywood here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
A woman was living in a apartment building that was built around 1905, 1910. It's a very old building. And she rented this house or this apartment, and it was furnished. What she didn't realize is the brass bed that was in that came with the apartment has been around for like 80 years. And one night when she woke up in the middle of the night around 3 a.m., and you know that's not a good sign.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So she woke up at 3 a.m. The bed is about 6 to 8 inches off the ground and moving back and forth, okay, and shaking, yeah. So this is a poltergeist or obsession attack, and the reason why she was being attacked is because the very bed that she was sleeping in was owned by a guy who lived there about 1920s, and he was murdered when somebody tried to rob him in his apartment in the early 1920s, and he was killed in that bed, and his soul didn't like the concept of anybody renting his apartment.
Oh.
So over the years, the landlord said that this is one apartment they could never rent. People stayed there for about 2 days or a week or a month, and they left, and she was in there. Now, we were able to get rid of that spirit, by the way, by getting him to what we call enter the light and get him out of the lower astral plane so he could go through his karmic cycle and reincarnate. Mm-hmm. So she's still living in that apartment. But this is an example how an obsession attack where a poltergeist was trying to protect his turf, so to speak.
Yeah.
But there are other examples of poltergeist attacks that are something that you may never even think of. For example, let's say you go to the hospital and you need a blood transfusion or an organ transplant. And what you don't know is the donor of that organ or blood tissue, if you will, if it's blood, was actually possessed or at least attempted to be possessed by a poltergeist. When you leave the hospital, in addition to getting your Blue Cross bill, you can also get the entity from that particular organ or transplant.
You know, and I don't like using this as an example, but there's actually a couple of films out there that I've seen over the years.
Oh, where the hand or
the hand, that's one of them, yeah. Where this guy had a hand transplant, right, Dr. Bruce? Mm-hmm. And the hand was from a serial killer,
but
right?
I wonder, though, because is there a property then of this tissue or of these cells? Because the cells and tissue themselves aren't like conscious in the way that we are.
It has nothing to do with the biology. It's strictly an energy issue. It's strictly an energy
issue. Okay. All right. Yes. That makes sense.
For example, here's a classic case. There was a book written several years ago called The L Code. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Mm. It's not the L word, the television show. It's The L Code.
Right.
Okay. In this book, there's a psychologist named Pearsall who writes about various documented cases of how these transplants occur energy-wise. Here's an example. A guy lives in Chicago. He's a Bear fan. He's a good old boy, a nice good old redneck racist, okay?
Okay.
I'm serious. You'll see why this is relevant.
Yeah.
Very Caucasian, you know, hates every ethnic division except his, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has to have a heart transplant because of his, shall we say, less than ideal diet. So he has a heart transplant. He doesn't know the donor. As it turns out, the donor was a man of Hispanic ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know that. This guy, the good old blue-collar redneck Bear fan, all of a sudden starts taking courses in how to speak Spanish, starts eating Spanish food, and now wants to date just Spanish women, which normally, not exactly his M.O.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's an example of, really, that was an attempt at a possession to a degree because the personality changed because of the spirit that was occupying the heart that now is in his body and
right.
that is giving him life. And that's an example of what we call an obsession or a spiritual aspect of a possession technique. So it's not dangerous compared to the demonic possession, the other stuff, but there are examples of how people can, people who have like items in their house that are cursed. Some of these statuettes they get from like the like India or some of these places where somebody has actually cursed an object and then somebody buys it at a curio shop.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that. They bring it into their house and all of a sudden things change quickly. And what they don't realize is that they don't know what the source is, but all of a sudden they have a lot of characteristics of what we call a psychic attack. For example, some of the characteristics, just so people can, we all can be on the same page.
Yeah.
Some of the classic examples of things like you have a fever at night of unknown origin, even in cold weather. Fevers without chills, which is like medically impossible, is a classic symptom of a psychic attack. Unnatural yellowing of the skin, assuming you don't have hepatitis, we're talking about a Caucasian.
Mm.
This is an example of a psychic attack. Insomnia accompanied by severe nightmares. You're actually having attacks in the lower astral plane. That's what the nightmares are. Appearances of like a black silhouette, like you turn around, you think you see something. All of a sudden you see a black silhouette that disappears immediately. That's actually a lower level demonic trying to play games with you. Telepathic communication instructing you to jump off the bridge is also a sign of a psychic attack. And, of course, things such as bad luck. You can go through your life, your weekly cycle, and you can say, well, maybe 7 or 8 things happen to me that I don't like in a month. All of a sudden you get like 35 things happening. That is an example of a psychic attack. So these can be very serious, and there's some very, very, debilitating things to the person's awareness. For example, a general dullness of the mind and senses is another example of a psychic attack.
Or a now, good
course,
night
I
out.
I live in Los Angeles, so it's hard to tell the difference.
Actually, did you have a question, Doug?
Yeah, actually, I want to
I think both of our gears are turning as you're talking about
the
this.
The last thing you said, the bad luck. the mm-hmm. all of a sudden, bam, there's more bad luck. I actually know a lady who had bought a shrunken head. Now, obviously, when you buy a shrunken head, it's not a real shrunken head. Of course, they tell you it's a real shrunken head, but it's really not.
Real shrunken head.
But anyway, she bought the shrunken head at a garage sale, right? Mm-hmm. She kept it for exactly a week. Within that week, so many bad things happened. She went and put it back into the mailbox of the house that she had bought it at. She just gave it back.
That's an object. I mean,
yeah.
Well, but remember what I said before, though. You can curse an object. It doesn't have to be a shrunken head. You can curse a cell phone if you want.
Right.
And in Los Angeles, a lot of people have cursed cell phones. I can tell you that.
Right. Oh, yeah. My cell phone's cursed.
My point is that it does. If it says, you know, made in Afghanistan or something, you know, it's not a real shrunken head on the back.
Right.
The point is, you can still curse it though, and you can curse any object, and that can cause a lot of problems. In my book, Protected by the Light, I actually give examples of how if people got some sort of a doll or some object, how they can go through a specific procedure before they just throwing it out doesn't do it. You've got to actually go through a particular ritual to actually curse the object so they can actually find out how to do it. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
But, this is like, you know, for example, people think that this is a placebo effect where, for example, if somebody is cursed by some voodoo ritual that it's just a matter of, well, you know, you said the person is, you have a placebo effect, now you've cursed, so therefore things happen. Let me just give you a little quote from, I hate to bore this, but this is a little bit of actual scientific literature.
No problem, no problem. Study.
There was a medical anthropologist many years ago named Dr. Joan Halifax who was very big in the field, and she wrote a paper called Hex Death, and this is a couple of quotes from Hex Death. This was studies of during the islands, like the Caribbean islands, Haiti and Dominican Republic, places where voodoo is really, really serious and where it causes problems. This is some examples. This is quotes. The victim is given no indication that he is being bewitched, lest he take protective measures. Sickness almost invariably follows an attack with a magical dart, and death is not uncommon.
Huh.
Okay, now it gets better here. The victim supposedly develops specific symptoms, the onset of which coincides with the sorcerer's manipulation of the victim's symbolic image, whether it is a doll, clothing of the intended victim, nail pairings, like nail clippings, or hair or dirt or tracks from the victim, a photograph or even an x-ray photo. Now, this is the key part. A hexer is able to follow his victim's movement in his mind's eye and thereby monitor the consequences of the hexing procedure. This is like the eyes of Laura Mars, if you ever saw that film.
Yeah, how gratifying. Wow. You know,
they can actually see what's going on. This is like putting a GSR thing, you know, a GPS thing on.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, man.
Now, in many cases, in these studies that were done in the both the 40s and the 70s, what we found out is that most of the people that were killed because of these procedures weren't even aware they were being attacked. So there's no placebo effect because they weren't aware that some cursing or hexing procedure mm-hmm. was being initiated. So therefore, this is really serious stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Voodoo comes from Africa, the west coast of Africa, actually, the western countries.
Yeah.
It came over to the islands and then, of course, to places like New Orleans
mm-hmm.
and many other places in the United States, to Brazil. But this is an ancient art, and it's really serious. It's really nasty stuff.
Dr. Bruce, we got a couple minutes before we go to break, but I got to ask you this, because as Doug's gears were turning, so were mine. And let me set this up for you really quick here. Maybe you might be able to give me some insight into this. There's been a couple times this year, on Sunday nights after we're done with the show here, that, you know, when I'm done with the show, my usual routine is we get done, we close the studio up here, and then I go and mm-hmm. start archiving the show down to get it up on the website, you know, get it, you know, do all the work for it, right? All the post-production work. And usually right around that time, this has happened about two or three times this year. Where I, in the middle of, you know, working on the computer, I'd start to get a headache, right? And I'd start feeling very, very, like, really run down, tired. Not like tired, like, man, I've had a long day, tired. Like, mm-hmm. my God, I feel like I'm going to fall over, right? But, you know, I'm like, okay, get the work done, then I can go to bed, okay? So I'll do that, get all my work done, and then I will go to bed. And usually around, you know, like around maybe between 1 and 3 a.m., I will wake up shivering to death, in a puddle of sweat. Usually I have to get up and shower because I'm just so sweaty and gross, right? Change the sheets on my bed and then try to go back to sleep. And it's happened two or three times. I know for a fact every single time this has happened to me, I've had to like shower two or three times in the night because I sweat so much. And here's the weird thing about it though, is I would wake up usually, finally if I got myself to sleep, I would wake up that next morning, whenever, and you know, I feel better, more or less. I feel okay. I feel normal. I mean, of course, I'm kind of like, okay, take it easy today. There's something happened to you, so don't push yourself too hard. But I feel back to normal. It's like maybe just like, you know, and I've had people say, well, it was just a, you know, a 12-hour virus or something like that or whatever. But it comes out of nowhere. That's what kind of caught my interest.
Let me comment on that, because I didn't mention that there was several other characteristics I left out. But headaches, by the way, in Protected by the Light, you'll see is listed as one of the characteristics of a psychic attack, too. By the way, the fevers at night of unknown origin, there's no such thing as a 12-hour virus. Virus, by the way.
Okay.
24 and 48 hour viruses, but they don't come in 12 hours, okay?
Okay.
So that's not a virus, all right? Secondly, you would have them night after night, you would have them the following day. You don't just wake up feeling good.
Yeah, it's just like it just happens overnight. That's all it is.
But I'll tell you what happened overnight, most likely, is that you probably, and this is what we're going to talk about, you probably accessed your own higher self, the perfect part of your soul, which is the main part of psychic self defense, the white light that people talk about, you know,
yeah.
Everybody's by the light. So your higher self probably kicked in like a taxi driver on duty now, and decided to help you. And during the dream levels at night, you're actually out of the body. You don't realize it, but I wrote a book called Astral Voyages, where I document the scientific research showing that our dreams, the REM cycle at night, are actually out-of-body experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You probably went to the upper astral plane, accessed your higher self, and your higher self got rid of whatever lower astral psycho entity was trying to play games with you.
Well, I just found it weird because, you know, we do a show on the paranormal. Right? And this is never...
That you're going to attract. This is called the law of attraction.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This has never happened. This has never happened, Dr. Bruce, on any other night, except for Sunday nights after the show.
I don't think the Andy Griffith Show has this problem.
Right. Let's take a quick break, Dr. Bruce, because this is fascinating. It really is. I'm
absolutely
totally into this.
And while we're on break, of course...
This is paranormal news, too.
Right? Oh, paranormal news with Bonnie
Beth. Yeah, it's going to be paranormal news.
The website, drbrucegoldberg.com, drbrucegoldberg.com.
Yeah.
Cue that up in your browsers, take a look, and just fascinating stuff. So, Bonnie... Tell us about the news.
Ghostly Talk!
Hey, Scott L. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Paranormal News is sponsored by the new ebook, Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Have you ever asked yourself the question, is my house haunted? Looking for a do-it-yourself way to find the answers? This ebook walks you through all the basics. There are also forms that you can fill out to log the activity and your experiences. For more information, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and look for Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Billy Joel had to rethink his views on things that go bump in the night after confronting a ghost in his former East Hampton, New York home. The rocker was not a believer in the supernatural until the apparition of a woman appeared before him one night as he was getting ready for bed. Joel tells Detail Magazine it was an old house that had been renovated, and he was going to bed one night and walked into the bedroom and saw what looked like a woman brushing her hair in front of the mirror. She was very old-fashioned looking and looked like a 19th century woman in a dressing gown. It was quite realistic. It was quite three-dimensional. He says he wasn't dreaming. He really saw this. Well, I guess there's nothing like having your own experience to make you a believer. Perhaps she was an uptown girl from an era gone by. A new strobe-like tech gadget is exciting the paranormal community. Paul Bradford, a co-founder of Sonoran Paranormal Investigations Incorporated in Arizona, is known by his colleagues as the Paranormal MacGyver and has worked for several years developing tools to help paranormal investigators better utilize infrared cameras to capture paranormal activity in the dark. Recently, Bradford began development on an infrared strobe system that, when used in conjunction with infrared cameras, may capture any fast-moving activity in a darkened room. According to Bradford, his plan for developing the device revolved around the desire in most investigations to go dark, that is, use as little light as possible in order to capture phenomena that might not happen when investigators light a room fully or a number of people are moving about. He also had safety concerns about using strobe lighting in the visual light spectrum because of its effect on people with epilepsy, as well as the disorientation of those exposed to only strobe lighting for long periods. Combining this application with prevailing paranormal theories, Bradford has also theorized that if ghosts exist in other dimensions, as many have believed, it would not be far-fetched to think that they move at much different rates of speed than our own dimension. Bradford explains, "There still isn't really anything out there specifically for the use of ghost hunting. What we do is take a tool or object intended for something else and adapt it to our need. This tool I've built is specifically for ghost hunting." A paranormal group claims to have captured an image of the spirit of a dead soldier at the Naseby battlefield site. The Northampton paranormal group took the photograph on a trip to a field between Clipston and Naseby on the anniversary of the Battle of Naseby last month. Members said they heard clunking noises as well as sounds like cannonball fire, but saw nothing. However, on returning home, the group's organizer, Emma Whiteman, said she noticed a strange image in the top corner of one of the pictures taken with a digital camera. She said the picture was taken about an hour after she heard the noises, but didn't see anything at the time. She's saying it's a soldier. Some people can see it sitting on a horse, and some people just see it as a walking soldier. The Battle of Naseby between Parliament troops under the command of Sir Thomas Fairfax and Prince Rupert's Royalist Army took place in 1645 and involved approximately 21,000 troops. It is seen by historians as the decisive battle in the war, effectively ending Royalist victory hopes. The paranormal group was part of a gathering at the site to mark the 363rd anniversary of the battle on June 14th this year. Author Adrian Perkin, who writes about paranormal activity, said he thought the image looked like a soldier with a musket or pike walking through a gateway. He added, "If this is genuine, it's a very good example. It's the best I've seen in many years." Skeptics, however, said the effect was caused by a fault with the camera. What do you think? For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
invoking the spirits to help you. But the forces they represent are so sinister and powerful. You shall be a toy in their hands.
A bumpy ride so far.
Oh no, I thought you were doing pretty good. I mean,
Everything. I mean, I don't mean bumpy. Oh. I mean bumpy as in a roller coaster bumpy, because that's a fun bumpy ride.
Yes,
fun bumpy.
It has been
fun bump.
Fun bumpy.
New game by Hasbro.
Besides,
I just popped in my head.
That was awesome.
We pimped Hasbro. Great. Are they still around?
I have no idea. Besides the book, Protected by the Light,
yeah.
Dr. Bruce has already, also, thank you, it was an all word. Okay.
I am your grammar instructor for this evening.
Well, thank you very much. has also written Spirit Guide Contact Through Hypnosis and of course, Past Lives, Future Lives.
Yeah.
The website, www.drbrucegoldberg.com, that's drbrucegoldberg.com, all run together, no spaces or hyphens or anything.
Yes.
Dr. Bruce. I just thought I'd, mention all of this stuff and get everything rolling. I know that you and Scott talked further a little bit. I missed it because I had to run up and get ice and stuff.
But. Let's put a cap on this really quick. You know, we did talk for a couple seconds after about what we went to the break with, and some hilarity ensued because Dr. Bruce is like, there's no such thing as a 12-hour virus.
Yeah,
there's no such thing as a Sunday 12-hour virus either. It's impossible.
It's right? Haven't just done Sunday.
And I will stress this. I mean, it's not something I made a huge deal out of, right? But I think I've come into work a couple days and I was like, I don't know what happened to me, dude. I felt fine all day long. We did the show and then I archived the show and I just started falling apart. And I wake up in the middle of the night just sweating to death. And this has happened, like I said, two or three times to me. And again, I would just come out of it the next day feeling normal.
So you had a reset.
Something happened. Yeah. Something happened, and Dr. Bruce helped me out with this to kind of explain, you can identify with this, Doug.
Yeah.
And Dr. Bruce, back me up on this because I think we're right on the same page. We're doing this show, and we've done a lot of stuff over the last couple of years, especially the last year, to really kind of improve the show, we think at least, or make it easier on us to be able to make the show run smoother. Aesthetically, it sounds better, all that stuff, but it also make it a little bit easier on us here on the board and stuff like that, so it just runs better. And for a while, we had all kinds of things we were trying to figure out and trying to make it easier on ourselves, so I was really focusing hard.
Well, it did seem...
And stressing hard.
It did seem unruly, and that's when a lot of stress happens in
life. Well, guys, here's one of the things that this is very good for your audience as far as good advice.
Okay.
The one thing you never want to have people do, and especially young teenage girls, if they're listening to this, is play with a Ouija board. If you want to get attacked by some lower astral entity, just make their day. It's one of the most dangerous. I know it's a game. It's a Parker Brothers, and it's been around for like 90 years. But you know something?
Yeah.
There are no good stories about Ouija boards. So that's another example of what we call the law of invitation, where you're actually inviting a lower astral to play games. I'd like to just spend a few moments talking about what I call the six-step plan for psychic self-defense. I document this, of course, in detail in this Protected by the Light book, but this is something that your listeners can do right now. It's not complicated, and they can really help themselves. First step is physical preparation. You want to get plenty of rest. You don't want to pull all-nighters, on a regular basis. You want to get a little exercise, a little brisk walking, half an hour every other day is all you need for exercise. Diet. Remember what your mother said when you were growing up? She was right, Eat your vegetables and your fruits.
Yeah.
And other stuff. The other thing is called, an emotional kind of cleansing. You want to keep away from the energy vampires. People in your life that are just driving you crazy, do the best you can to, do the Dionne Warwick and walk on by, because they're not going to help you. The energy stabilization is another part of this, which is step four, which really deals with what we call balancing the chakras. And there are many techniques to do that, of course. There's a psychic protection from negativity exercise on my website. People can do that as an example for that.
Mm-hmm.
Energy cleansing is what I call a technique I developed many years ago called the super conscious mind tap, where I'm training the person to access the perfect part of their soul's energy, the higher self. And that will actually, that is the white light, and that will actually facilitate a lot of these protection mechanisms and heal the auric field from negative entities and energy. And the last step is something I want to spend a few moments on. This is called spiritual empowerment by spirit guide contact. And this is where my book, Spirit Guide Contact Through Hypnosis, comes in.
Okay.
That book, by the way, that book comes with a CD, by the way. It comes with a self-experiential CD, which will bring in, like, your guardian angel, and will help you to not only enter into a nice hypnotic level, but will also bring in an entity from the other side that means you well, a positive entity. They don't get any more positive than a guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
And this will actually help you to deal with not just simple psychic attacks, but even some of the more moderate ones that have been bothering you for maybe decades even. So the spirit guide contact is kind of fun and also very protective. Now, on the other side, we're talking about the fifth dimension. We'll be talking about these spirit guides or any kind of entity. There are several kinds of entities that people should know about. You don't want to go to the lower astral plane. And if you use drugs or you have a very poor attitude about life, or you use a Ouija board or go to a seance where everybody's unprotected, then you're going to wind up in the lower astral, so you don't want to do that.
Okay.
But the kinds of entities that you find on the other side are things like you find your higher self, of course, the perfect part of your soul. You have spirit guide. These are good ones. The angels are guardian angel, no problem. You can also have, on the lower astral plane, departed loved ones, people who have crossed into spirit but have not reincarnated, and they stay on the lower astral plane for a period of time, and they're not in a good mood because it's not very nice there. It's noisy and it's filled with a lot of little trolls and gargoyles and a lot of nasty entities.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find good entities on the upper astral, such as the Pleiadians, ETs, who are here or our protectors. And you can actually even meet time travels from our future. I wrote a book called Time Travels from Our Future, where you can actually focus in on our futuristic species who travel through the fifth dimension to go back in time. And you can actually meet them. And there's a little video clip on my website where one of my patients actually contacted a time traveler, and she did it on television, coincidentally, and it was a very interesting episode, or a little clip to show that.
Wow.
So you can do that. Now, the question is, people say, well, okay, doctor, suppose I contact an entity. How do I know whether it's a spirit guide or whether it's a lower astral? And that's a very good, very important question to answer.
Okay.
A spirit guide, or let's call it the entity, if they provide guidance and wisdom and compassion and love, and you feel very good, you feel spiritually uplifted, then you're dealing with a spirit guide or your higher self, or it may even be a guardian angel. Either any one of those are positive. However, if you deal with an entity that gives you a feeling of anxiety, a feeling of fear or depression or any negative emotion, an entity that may be bragging about how cool it is or trying to control you, using foul language, things like that, then you're dealing with a lower astral entity, and you can easily dismiss them and get them away from you. So it's very, very easy to detect whether the entity is positive or negative simply by how you feel as a result of the interaction or contact with them. Because the positive entities are actually beings of light. Their energy vibrations are higher than ours. They can appear in various forms. They can appear as a light. They can appear as a religious figure. They can appear as somebody that's a mentor to you now. They can appear in any way they want. They can be male or female. The soul has no sex, of course. They really are specialists in these spirit guides. If you have a relationship issue, or a medical issue, or an abundance issue, you get different spirit guides that are specializing in that particular discipline. So there's a whole bunch of them around. They're good, and contacting them especially is important if you've got a medium to high level psychic attack, which is not that uncommon thing. See, I feel that all suicides, for example, are due to psychic attack. We're the only animal on this planet that kills itself.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You know, you don't see a squirrel saying, okay, that's it, guys, I've had it.
No, they are always hammering. I mean, every other animal on this planet, they no matter what, they're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
Right. Seriously.
They are not subject to psychic attack. They do the instinct. They do what nature intends them to do. You don't see animals sitting there going, you know something? I think I'm going to gain 50 pounds and call my agent, you know? I mean, only man does that.
Yeah.
I'm serious. So, I mean, so if you look at nature, you look at lower animals, you can see the difference between our complicated species. Don't forget, lower animals also don't sit there and do black magic rituals either. I mean, there's a reason why our species has been attacked so over hundreds of thousands of years by these lower astral entities. By the way, most of the psychic attack that we're talking about is not just black magic attack. That's only 3% of attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Or the poltergeists represent about 7%. 90% of these attacks are done by average, normal, everyday forces, like bad used car commercials, or people whining and yapping about their religion, about their politics, or about their football team, or whatever. People just, the energy vampires, we call that, just the people trying to manipulate you, or just people being a pest or a pain in the neck, or being adolescent or immature or selfish, those people represent negative energy forces, invisible forces. That's what a psychic attack is, attacked by invisible forces. And they're all around, because I feel, as much as I like to think of myself as a realistic idealist, there's a lot more negativity on this planet than positivity on a day-to-day function. So
I agree.
To a lot of negativity.
100%.
All I can say is I've seen probably a total of 5 hours of television in the past 5 months. And
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The other problem is people look. Here's how society conditions people without even realizing it. They say you should be a good citizen. So watch the news, the TV news, read the newspaper. You know something? There is no advantage of you knowing how many people were killed in Zimbabwe last week. Okay?
There isn't.
All negativity. It's just going. This stuff will depress you or get you angry. And
right.
That kind of stuff is actually a psychic attack. And people get cynical. They get, you know, whiny and depressive. And so my point is that keep positivity in your life. You don't need to know all this junk. These factoids are going to last about 24 hours anyway, or about twice as long as one of Scott's little attacks.
Well, you know, and that is what, you know, Doug and I have talked about this at great length about the media, and we talked about it on the show here a lot too, you know, and we both agree that there is it's so chock full of negativity, and it's very interesting to hear from you that 90% of the psychic attacks result from just people like us, because there is let's face it, and this is
right. You think you're going through your day to day life, and
yeah.
You know, as a news broadcaster or a news person or someone making some kind of sly, you know, snide remark in the checkout.
Yeah.
But no, it's not a snide remark. It's negativity.
Yeah, and it really kind of grinds on you when you keep.
Yeah, but see, the problem is, guys, if somebody is attacking you, let's say even if they're doing a black magic attack or they're just being a real pest,
mm-hmm.
you just can't call up your local police department and say, now, Mrs. Jones up the street is psychically attacking you. Turn the squad car over, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
The society doesn't accept the concept of energy attack. And just like modern medicine, for the most part, doesn't accept energy healing either. You know, I mean, there's a kind of like an energy conspiracy, a karmic conspiracy here about positivity. So it's up to the individual. Every one of your listeners out there has a free will right to do what they want to do to protect themselves. And knowledge is power. And this kind of stuff can really help you protect yourself from the basic negativity that you see. You ever notice how, look at people, the average person. Take a 4-year-old child before he goes to school.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting around playing with his dog. Grandmother is spoiling them, you know. They don't walk around saying the bastards are stealing my business, you know.
Yeah.
But as the kid grows up and goes to school, and then he goes through those social pressures, and then he goes to get a job, and then gets married and whatever, as they get older, you notice how they tend to get more cynical, more depressed, more negative,
mm-hmm.
sometimes antisocial,
mm-hmm.
lower attention span, and overweight, and all the other issues that you don't see as in younger kids. So this is where the reason being is because when they go to sleep at night, they're actually going to the lower astral plane where they're being attacked for 3 hours by lower astral entities, and the techniques I'm presenting in these books are the opposite, trying to get them to bring in their higher self, keep away from the lower astral entities on the lower astral plane when they're asleep, as well as during the waking day to protect themselves from the various negativity or what we call negative energy forces that are all around us, but they don't have to affect you. Once you're protected, it's like a guardrail shield. None of this stuff is going to really affect you, as it would now if you're unprotected. And I'll tell you right now, just about everybody walking this planet, with the exception of maybe 3 or 4%, are really unprotected from negative energy attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think I feel it. Well, no,
I see it going on, but I don't feel it.
We're even victims of this, Dr. Bruce. And I know both of us try. And Doug is way better than I am. But Doug is, you know, he is a very, very positive person, a very proactive positive person. And I do the best I can. I'm as proactive as they come. But the positivity, it's a little bit harder for me, right? But we both try our best to keep things as positive as possible. That's what we try to reflect out on this show every week. But I know we even find ourselves in conversations going, that person is a complete idiot, what are they doing, right? And we'll never understand it, but we still discuss it. And I know we should try to find more positive things to discuss with each other, but, you know, we're victims of that, too. Sometimes it just...
Well, but let me show you the good news here.
Okay.
If a person is, if you're unprotected and you're dealing with an energy vampire, and you can tell they're an energy vampire because they literally will drain you. You will feel like spent a couple of rounds with Mike Tyson looking for your ear, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not complicated.
Yeah.
Now, if you're protected, do you know what an energy vampire is now if you're protected?
Mm-hmm.
You're just an annoying individual. They don't drain you. See, that's the big difference. If you're drained, you're now your immune system is compromised. You can have all kinds of other problems. But if they're an annoying person, you can just say, you know, thank you, but no thank you. You can confront them. You don't have to be mean and nasty to them. But you can just, once you identify yourself as an empowered person, the energy vampires in the world won't go near you because they only like to deal with people they can win with.
Well, that they're reactionary. Right? That's the big thing right there.
They can just manipulate. In other words, if they can't manipulate with you, it's no sale, then their attitude is, well, let's just, we call it the path of least resistance. They simply pick on somebody that they can succeed with, and therefore they leave you alone, so you don't have to worry about that. And that's good news for you, because the less energy vampires and negativity you're exposed to, the better off you're going to be as a soul, and the happier, more fulfilled you're going to be.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of all this.
And that's how, you know, how many times have we had conversations with people, even though we're victims of this sometimes, between ourselves, just discussing things, right? Which I think sometimes that can be cathartic, can be healthy, just to kind of get stuff off your chest, vent a little bit, so you feel better. But I know, you know, doing the show and stuff over the years, we've had all types of, you know, people that listen to this show. You guys have been with us. You've seen all the ups and downs and stuff like that, all the insanity. And Doug and I have always, you know, and it's one thing we've talked about before, Doug, is that we've always been the kind of people to go, okay, look, this is drama over here that we do not need to deal with. We're not going to address it. It's nothing to us. It's just an annoying thing that we're going to just ignore.
Yeah.
And we do that a lot.
We've learned that the hard way, though.
We've had to learn that the hard way.
I mean, don't you see that your show becomes a forum for people who want an audience, and if they can call in, or if it's a guest, let's say, and they can simply say, now I've got a chance to share my little stories or my neurotic personality, if that's what you're talking about, somebody who's just being looking for attention, whatever, or just being, some people are not just looking for attention, sometimes there's a little bit more nefarious purpose behind it. You know, they're trying to do a more media psychic attack. Therefore, they can use your show as a fulcrum for that, and therefore, those kind of people you'll recognize real fast. It's not difficult to see their MO. The way to deal with this is simply to confront them and to protect the audience by making statements without having to embarrass a guest if they're doing that, or if it's a caller. But you do have an obligation, I think, to do that. That's one of the karmic, that's one of the universal laws, is that when you see people doing something really stupid, it's important or potentially dangerous to an audience, which actually it can be.
Oh,
it's important to confront them and to educate the public so that they know they can listen to them, but at least you're giving the other side of the story, so they're giving them a better chance to make it a more intelligent choice.
Oh, yeah. I think we've always been fair. You know, it hasn't always been. It's actually, we've been very lucky about guests.
Right.
We've always had wonderful people to talk to, like yourself, Dr. Bruce. But I think, you know, just general stuff, life, you know, a life around this show, what happens around it, you know, there's all types of stuff going on, millions of things going on around us. And I know that we've been doing it right, Doug. I really think we have.
I think the law of attraction, we've attracted the right kind.
We've
of
attracted the positive people
and
really got the good information out there. So, yeah, there.
Well, you mentioned the key term is the law of attraction. You have the law of attraction works both ways.
Yes.
And if you have a committed positivity to you, just like your little 12-hour shakes were gotten away the following morning because you're bringing in your higher self. And so you're attracting the positivity there to deal with something that could have really negative repercussions. And thank goodness it didn't and isn't doing that to you. So I think that's an example.
Mm-hmm.
And also the show itself, the purpose of the show represents educating the public and informing them, giving them exposed to things that they may not normally be able to see so or get so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good purpose. And the universe rewards you. The universe will always reward you one way or another, depending on your motives.
Well, thank goodness.
Well, I know.
Maybe not financially, but it rewards you more.
Yeah, Murphy's not a good friend.
Murphy has popped in here and there, but you know he's laid off quite a bit in the past couple of years.
Well, I've been thwarting that guy, man.
That's true.
Look, Murphy's Law. I'm tired of this crap, right?
Whenever we send a card out,
we're pushing
Murphy.
7 years on the air here, man. Enough's enough.
Whenever we send out a card to Murphy, Murphy's Law, we always use a different address.
Murphy's probably in the bar getting drunk right now. Anyway,
that's true. Let him stay there. I don't want to deal with it.
We have, like, what, 2 minutes?
Not even that. Yeah, unfortunately.
Your books.
Wow.
Your books are...
Well, I just want to say for the benefit of your audience,
please,
that if they go to my website, there's about 30 different articles that I have on there covering everything from regressions and progressions to out-of-body experiences to ET, time travel, psychic, self-defense, etc. Out-of-body travel, especially techniques to do that. And, of course, they can... all my books are on the site, and there's lots of... There's 13 videos. They can actually see what this looks like. And I also do, for the benefit of your listeners that may want to have a session with me,
yeah,
if they want to come to Los Angeles, I can do sessions by computer by using Skype or other video mentality, so they can actually do a session via the computer. And it's about 95% as effective as being in my office here in L.A. So there's lots of fun things they could do. The site is meant there for their,
yeah,
their titillation and their education.
That's absolutely amazing.
Dr. Bruce, we got to bring you back on sometime. Seriously.
We are
going to
get you back
on. I would love to reincarnate with you guys.
Please.
The website.
Just don't have the shakes, Doug, okay?
No, we won't. The website is www.drbrucegoldberg.com. That's drbrucegoldberg.com. That, of course, will be permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Yes, yes.
The books, Protected by the Light and Spirit Guide Contact Through Hypnosis.
Well,
there's 20 other ones.
Yeah.
There's 18 other books. These books are available anywhere nationwide, Amazon or the bookstores. But if they get it through my office, they can get a whole bunch of other stuff that I'll send them. I give them separate exercises and information about speaking engagements and all the other stuff. So
cool.
I'll read the books to my site, gives them a lot more information than just getting it in a bookstore, too.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. Don't
Don't leave
up.
Us. Hang on the line
don't
for one second,
yet.
Dr. Bruce.
Sure.
Don't leave us yet.
We'll get with you in one second.
Yep.
Coming up is going to be Tim Wood of LiveSciFi.tv.
Yeah, interesting project.
Find out what's going on.
This is
I get the things on that.
A listener request here, too. Somebody emailed me and said, hey.
Hey, what
bring Tim,
folks.
And I said, no problem at all. I'd be happy to take care of that. So again, we want to thank Dr. Bruce Goldberg for joining us. Wow, I'm like just totally floored here. I really,
I'm excited. Talk about upbeat, positive, everything
I
like
feel
that.
Good.
We're gonna take that, and we're gonna take that into the next hour with Tim Wood of LiveSciFi.tv.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at GhostlyTalk.com.